Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence with us today. We thank you, Lord, your word tells us that when we come together, there's something about coming together. There's something about being in person in church, Lord, that your presence is with us. And we just worship you and we just honor you today. Father, we do pray over our new Prime Minister. And Lord, we lift him before your throne. And Lord, you're the God who raises men up, you bring men down. And Father, we believe, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose in this election. And so we pray over our Prime Minister. First of all, we pray for him and his family, his children, that the blessing of Almighty God will be upon them. And we do pray, Father, that you'll move upon this man's heart, his cabinet, and the whole government. Lord, we pray for godly government in this land in the name of Jesus. Pray, Lord, they make good decisions, right decisions, Lord, that firstly honour you, Lord, and it's good for the people. For us here today, we're really hungry for your word. So we pray you'll speak to our hearts right now. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're ministering to people even now. We thank you healing's taking place now. We thank you that strengthening's taking place now. Encouragement is taking place now. So, Lord, to you be all the honour and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
And they shouted,
praise
God. Amen. Who's ready for the word?
Yeah.
So we've been looking at Psalm 23 for quite a number of weeks. I hope you've been encouraged, everybody, through these messages, different angles as we've looked at Psalm 23, kind of progressing through it. Next weekend will be the final message in this series on Psalm 23. Next weekend I'll be speaking from Psalm chapter 23, verse 6. It's got six verses in it. And so that's what we'll be looking at. So we've looked at, just a quick recap, we've looked at how using the imagery of an ancient Middle Eastern shepherd's relationship with his sheep, Psalm 23, it describes the relationship that Almighty God has with his people. Psalm 23 is a magnificent piece of Hebrew poetry, but it actually only has 55 Hebrew words in it. On the screen that you're looking at right now, that's the Psalm 23 in the King James Version. We're going to read it in a few moments. In the English King James Version, it's got 118 words. In the Hebrew Version, the Psalm only has 55 Hebrew words. And smack bang in yellow, in the center of Psalm 23, is a statement, "For thou art with me."
Amen.
I think there's five words in English there. In Hebrew, it's just three words. "But thou art with me." And we looked at those words last week, and maybe if you missed out on that, you might want to listen to that. But there are exactly 26 Hebrew words before that central statement of "thou art with me." 26 Hebrew words. And there are exactly 26 Hebrew words after that statement. Leading up to this central statement, the psalm speaks of God in the third person. "The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me. He leads me. He restores me." Then we come to that central statement. And so from that central statement and onwards, the psalmist then speaks directly to God. "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Thou preparest a table for me." So clearly, the presence of the Lord in the life of the believer is a central message of Psalm 23. It is a heartbeat of this beautiful psalm. Amen? So I'd like us to stand right now, and we're going to read, once again, we've read it a few times, haven't we? And maybe you might even know it off by heart, especially in the King James Version. Let's read Psalm 23 together. Here we go. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Sometimes it's good to read aloud the Word of God. Actually, lots of times it is. And sometimes, you know, as you're reading it, it's nice just to let the Word of God just flow over you. Who does that? I just love that, and that psalm in particular. But today, we finally arrive at the words, "Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." And we're going to flesh those two statements out. "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." We'll look at them today. At the end of a very long day, the ancient Middle Eastern shepherd rested with his sheep. That entire day, he may have been leading his sheep over tough terrain. He may have led them even that day through a dark valley. Or he may have even led them to a green meadow earlier in the day. In the ancient Middle East, the sheep flocks were very small compared to like us in Australia. A shepherd may only have had 30 to 50 sheep in his flock. A flock of 150 would have been considered very large. And so the sheep did not need to be branded. And neither were these sheep driven along by sheep dogs. They just simply, like we've got in our picture, they just simply followed their shepherd wherever he went. And so because of the small size of his flock, the shepherd knew every single one of his sheep, and he had probably named them all as well, give them a name. And the sheep knew his voice. And at the end of the day, the shepherd gently checked his sheep one by one. He went round his flock one by one, spending a little time with each one of them. What was the shepherd looking for when he checked his sheep and spent a little bit of time with them? What was he doing? What was he looking for? Well, the shepherd was making sure that his sheep had no injuries. They may have been going through tough, you know, areas. He made sure they had no injuries or prickles in their wool. But he was especially checking to make sure that no flies or parasites had attacked his sheep. Because you see, sheep are vulnerable to flies and various types of parasites. Nose flies, in particular, cause tremendous discomfort and agitation for the sheep in the Middle East. Firstly, the nose fly buzzes around the sheep's head, and that alone is annoying. And we know all about flies in Australia. Amen. When I go walking in summer, I'm one of these guys who looks really uncool because I have a net over my face. Amen, amen. Can't stand the flies. But then this is where it becomes really problematic for the sheep is the nose fly then flies around its nose, lands, and when it can, it starts to then climb up right up into the sheep's nostril, and it lays eggs in the moist membrane of the sheep's nose. Then a little later, those little eggies in the sheep's nose then hatch, and then the larvae come out and they wriggle and wriggle around in the sheep's nose, and they move further up the nasal passage of the sheep. Imagine that happening to you. You've got no fingers to do anything about it. This agitation causes great distress in the sheep, and it affects its diet. So a lot of the sheep become so agitated they refuse to eat. It affects their diet and it affects their health. And the distressed sheep, excuse me, will then frantically stomp its feet and shake its head in an effort to get rid of the bugs that are in its nose. For some sheep, the agitation is so severe that they will bang their heads on trees and rocks, trying to get some relief from the wriggling larvae inside their nose. And so, of course, if they're banging their heads, then they hurt themselves. In the process, they become injured. They can even die. In addition to the flies, there are numerous parasites that attack sheep. One common parasite is called scabs. Scabs is a sheep condition that's found all over the world. In fact, in Great Britain right now, scabs is its number one problem they have with their sheep over there even today. And scabs is a terrible parasite. It's a serious problem for sheep. And that's one of the scab mites you can see on the screen. And so to fix the problem, the modern Western sheep herder has his sheep dipped in chemicals. I think we all know that. And that's what they do in Australia. But in the ancient Middle East, the shepherds did not have access to the modern chemicals and techniques they have today. Instead, the Middle Eastern shepherd anointed their sheep with an olive oil mixture. Actually, it was more like they smeared the sheep's head with the olive oil mixture. These ancient shepherds had found that the olive oil mixture was highly effective in keeping the flies away from the sheep's nose, and it helped to protect their sheep from the parasites. In addition, the oil was used to help heal any injuries the sheep may have sustained that day. The applied oil protected and healed the sheep. And so the sheep thrived once they were anointed. The sheep thrived. They grew healthier. They grew fatter when the oil was smeared on their heads. Interestingly, even in Palestine and in other parts of the world, shepherds still apply olive oil to the heads of their sheep. Thou anointest my head with oil. The word anointest or anoint is probably not the best word in our English translation of this verse. The Hebrew, remember the Bible, Old Testament, was written in Hebrew. Most of it was written in Hebrew. The Hebrew wording means something more like this. You ready? You fatten me when you put oil on my head. You fatten me when you put oil on my head. And it was true. When the olive oil mixture was smeared on the sheep's head, the sheep became healthier, and they became fatter. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now my cup runneth over. When the shepherd checked his sheep for wounds and parasites, he also gave them water to drink. So the shepherds, we're talking about in the Middle East, in the ancient world, the shepherds often used a wide-brimmed cup to give each of his sheep a drink. The shepherd would fill the cup to overflowing. My cup runneth over. So his sheep could dip their face into the water and be refreshed by the water and drink the water, or drink as much as that the sheep needed. So the shepherd inspected his sheep. The shepherd smeared his sheep with oil, and the shepherd refreshed his sheep with water. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Application. Psalm 23. The shepherd, Jesus Christ is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus in the New Testament spoke about himself being the good shepherd. This psalm, talking about the shepherd, is talking about Jesus Christ. And we follow Jesus Christ. So that means we are the sheep. That feature in this psalm is talking about us. And those pesky nose flies, those horrible parasites, and those agitating prickles that I have described represent evil, unclean, buffeting spirits that daily buffet and mess with you and your family as you follow Jesus Christ. Those spiritual pesky flies are looking for a way to climb into your life. They metaphorically, I'm speaking metaphorically here, buzz around your head, creating agitation for you. But what they really want to do is they want to get right up your nose and lay their eggs in your nose. They want to steal away your joy that you have in Jesus Christ. Now, previously in Psalm 23, a few weeks ago, we looked at how the sheep had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And you know, the valley of the shadow of death, that's where the big predators were. That's where the lions and the bears lurked in the shadows of darkness. But because the Lord is our shepherd, we could say with the psalmist, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. But these big predators, those big predators or enemies, they represent the bigger misfortunes or calamities of life that sometimes come your way and come my way. We all have big challenges in life. A marriage breakdown, a serious illness, a rebellious child, loss of income. These are major things that can happen to anybody. But the devil has other strings to his bow when it comes to attacking you and your family. You see, while you are focused on the bigger issues of life, the enemy will send those small, pesky flies and parasites to get up your nose and to get inside your head. He'll send a little parasite of discontent to agitate you. He'll send a nose fly of unforgiveness to unsettle you. And you risk not seeing them because these things are just, well, they're just so small, aren't they? They're just feelings. They're just thoughts that drift through your head. No big deal. We all have them. But if you don't pay attention to those small pesky flies, you'll soon have spiritual larvae crawling around on the inside of your nose. The Song of Solomon says this, catch all the little foxes. Those little foxes that most people don't see before they ruin the vineyard of love. Catch all the little foxes. Don't just look out for the big things and the thieves. Watch those little foxes. Catch the little foxes. Those little foxes before they ruin the vineyard of love. Indeed, while you're focused on the big battles of life, don't neglect to pay attention to the small stuff that can go under the radar. The pride of the Russian fleet, the $750 million Russian missile cruiser, I don't know if I'm saying the name properly, Moskva. Is that how you say it, Richie, in Russian? Moskva. Well, there is a V. I thought it was a silent V. So Moskva. Okay. Richie speaks Russian, by the way. Just saying that's one. But he's Irish. Amen. That's confusing, isn't it? The Moskva was recently destroyed, $750 million, $750 million. It was recently destroyed by a couple of small, cheap missiles. And that was because the Moskva was focused on something else. Those missiles should never have got through that ship's defense. But the missiles got through because those Russian sailors failed to pay attention to what was happening behind them and they were distracted by something else. In fact, that was the ploy. The Ukrainians put that drone over there, most of you read all about it, distracted them and came with a couple of cheap missiles that took out their $750 million ship. They were distracted by something else. Everybody, watch out for the distractions of life. You know, flies and parasites are so small, you hardly notice them. I mean, that mite is so small. You hardly notice them, but they can destroy a sheep. They can destroy a whole flock of sheep. That's why the psalmist addressed this when he said to the Lord his shepherd, he said, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Those two little statements in this profound psalm are for us. They are for you today. These two statements are a picture of the Holy Spirit working the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. And you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Throughout the Bible, oil and water often represent the Holy Spirit and his work. For example, 1 Samuel 6, it says this, "So as David stood there among his brothers," and you've got this bit on your screen, "Samuel took the flask of olive oil," we're talking about oil, "he had brought, and he anointed David," he smeared his head with the oil. Look at the next sentence. "And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on." The oil represents the Holy Spirit. Amen? Here we see, so that's what we see. And then also this, Jesus said this in John 7. He said, I hope you can see that okay, everybody, but I'll read it. He said, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And then in brackets, and this is in the scriptures, the brackets are from the scriptures, it says, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who will be given to everyone believing in him. So we can see that water is also a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So the statements, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over," clearly are about the Holy Spirit working in our lives today. Amen. But then we've got to ask this other question. What is it about our heads that needs the Holy Spirit? What is that talking about? Well, Ephesians 4:23 makes it very clear. The Bible says this, "Let the Holy Spirit, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let God, the Holy Spirit, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Your head is where you do all of your thinking. Of course it is. And most of the greatest spiritual battles that you face in life don't take place out there. They actually take place in your thoughts and in your attitudes. What you believe, what you imagine. There is this tug of war constantly going on over the thoughts you permit inside your head. Now, many of us, all of us, because I don't want to be seen to be picking on anybody, amen. All of us have some stinking thinking going on inside our heads. Maybe you've had some today. Stinking thinking about life, about other people, judging other people, about yourself. Oh, I'm just a loser. About our hopes and dreams, even about God. Stinking thinking. Stinking thinking is the kind of thinking that is from your old life. Stinking thinking is the kind of thinking that is more agreeable with the attitudes of the world rather than being agreeable with the attitudes of God. And our lousy thinking is the doorway that the enemy uses to influence our lives and our behavior. Those spiritual, tiny parasites feed your negativity. They will feed your fears. Little thoughts. You can't do that. You'll never get this job. They feed your negativity. Your kids, you know, bad things are going to happen to them. They feed your negativity. It's just a thought. They'll feed your lust with all sorts of thoughts, crazy thoughts. Therefore, our daily thoughts need some serious help and renewal. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. Who could do with some serious help today? Amen. Who thinks the person next to you especially needs some serious help today? Yes, yes. That's the thing with a sermon, it's always for everybody else, isn't it? But this is the thing. Listen, listen, and I don't have too much more to go. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can transform our thoughts to thoughts that bring life and health. So how do we get the Holy Spirit into our thoughts? How does that even happen? I mean, what do you do? You know, how does that work? Well, the Bible says this. Jesus, our good shepherd, said his words are... Can we say that again? His words are spirit and life. His words are spirit and life. Jesus also said this. I'm going to put this next verse with what you just read there. Jesus also said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My words are spirit and life. And Jesus said, my sheep listen. Listen to my voice. I know them and they know me. So this is it. And I know a lot of you heard this before, but repetition is the mother of all learning. Amen. Come on. When we pay attention, intentionally so, when we pay attention to the voice of the shepherd, his words, when we listen to the voice of the shepherd, who is Jesus, the Holy Spirit then does his divine transforming work inside our minds. He is the applied oil to stop the larvae of the enemy crawling around in your nose. The Holy Spirit works with the words of Jesus. The Holy Spirit uses these words and teachings of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit brings renewal to the way we think. And this lesson is right in the first chapter of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, 3, it says, you know, when God was creating the heavens and the earth, what does it say? It says that the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters of the deep. Then God spoke, let there be light. And the Holy Spirit brought it to be the light that we have today. Amen. Nothing's changed. It's still the same today. The flies and the parasites feed your fears, but the Holy Spirit feeds your faith. When we intentionally feed the words of Jesus into our thinking, we don't just get information, we get transformation in Jesus' name. Our heads, our thoughts, our thinking become smeared with the oil of heaven, who is God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you become healthier. You become fatter. I'm talking about your soul. Amen. That's actually a thing to desire, to become fatter in your soul. You don't want to be skinny in your soul. You want to be healthier. You want to be fatter in your soul, well nourished in your soul. And that happens when you listen to the voice of the good shepherd. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, I just want to say this, take it any way you want. The good shepherd's voice, you know, where is that? You know, is that floating around my head and I just tap into it? No, that's not how it works. The shepherd's voice is written clearly, word for word, in the Holy Scriptures today. This is a shepherd's voice. Everybody listen to me. This is the voice of the good shepherd. The shepherd's voice is heard just about on every single page in the Bible, but it's especially heard in the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you want to hear the voice of the good shepherd, spend some time in those four Gospels. Amen. If you're not learning to spend some time in the Bible, and you know, there's different ways you can spend time in the Bible. I like to read my Bible, but you might think, I don't like to read. But you know, you can get your Bible now, recorded version. You can play it back on your phone. There's just so many ways you can do that. But if you see, if you're not learning, because you've got to learn how to do it. If you're not learning to spend some time in the Bible, then you are a target for those flies and parasites. So all I've got to say to you is this, get into your Bible in Jesus' name. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The sheep came to the shepherd and he refreshed them with water. When you come and worship Jesus, he refreshes your soul with the Holy Spirit of God, the divine water. I felt that today, just in that worship. I felt it especially in that beautiful song I heard he was singing. Jesus, your shepherd, invites you to come daily and drink from his wide-brimmed cup and be refreshed. How important it is, brothers and sisters. I'm not wanting to nag you. I'm just telling you the truth. How important it is to make time to spend with Jesus Christ each day, reading his word, listening to his word, praying and worshiping. That's what believers do. That's what believers do. The great preacher, I've nearly finished now, the great preacher John Wesley, who founded the Methodist Church, was one of 17 children. How about that, being a family of 17 kids? And he remembered how when he was a child, his busy mother would sit at the kitchen table and then lift her apron and put it over her head for 15 minutes every single day because she had nowhere else to go. She had 17 kids. She was a busy mum. And all of her 17 children understood that when mama went with her apron over her head, that was mummy's time with Jesus Christ. I imagine when the children were smaller, she probably did that with several babies under the apron too. Obviously, my sons are adults, but I do remember spending time worshiping and reading the word with a child on my lap who's done that, because that's what you got to do. You got to make time with Jesus. Question I've got for you. When do you spend time with Jesus? When do you spend time with Jesus? Perhaps you're a very busy person and you've only got 5 minutes available. Well, that 5 minutes is okay. But this is a deal. Keep that 5 minute daily appointment with Jesus. It's your special appointment. You know, if somebody rings up and they say you've got time to talk and you're about to spend time with Jesus, say, no, I've got an appointment with somebody. Thank you very much. Spend your time with Jesus and daily be refreshed by the Holy Spirit. And we need to come to Jesus daily so that he can inspect us, just like the shepherd inspected the sheep. He inspects our hearts. He's making sure that our wounds are tended to in Jesus' name. Amen. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And the Holy Spirit is here with us today to refresh you once again. Now, I've finished, by the way. That's the end of the message. Amen.